This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Thank you very much, Roger. Coming up on 10 minutes after 5 here on this Saturday morning, my thermometer in Huntley, Illinois says 68 degrees. It looks like we've had on-again, off-again rain overnight, and the sky is still pretty much cloudy as we're awaiting the sunrise today, the beginning of what is the first three-day holiday weekend of the summer season. But as you've heard us talking on WGN, the time to remember the meaning of the holiday. It's not the first summer vacation weekend. It's not the opportunity to go to a ball game. It's the opportunity to pay tribute and remember those who sacrificed it all. It's called Memorial Day. Some of you, like me, probably remember when we called it Decoration Day, and it always happened on the 31st of May. Now, again, for our convenience and our time off for a longer weekend, we put it on a Monday so that we get a three-day weekend. But Decoration Day was a day that you went to the local cemetery to decorate graves of family members and to take flags and put them on the graves of veterans. And glad to know that they still do that in many areas, particularly in rural churches. A lot of that goes on. So enjoy the holiday. It's also, from an economic standpoint, for cattle and hog producers, the beginning of the summer grilling season. That does make a difference in the marketplace. Interesting to watch prices and demand for products from cattle and hogs as we go into the summer grilling season. For me, it means, well, not Monday, but today, one of my favorite places in all of Chicagoland, Arlington Park Racecourse, and we'll be out there this afternoon. After all, it's agriculture, it's horses, and all the people in the state who support the industry by breeding the horses, the people who produce the feed, and all of that. So we're looking forward to a productive day at Arlington Park Racecourse. And wherever you are going or whatever you are doing this Memorial Day weekend, please do it safely. You know, I'm kidded a little bit by Max Armstrong, who keeps saying, my golly, 10,000 times you've talked about safety on rural highways and the slow-moving vehicle emblem. But the reason I do is because people continue to ignore the SMV emblem and lose their lives because of it. That slow-moving vehicle emblem is the triangular-shaped blue or red center with a fluorescent orange border. And yes, you'll see it on the back of golf carts, that's fine, but it came out of the agricultural industry because this time of the year, well, throughout the year, as a matter of fact, with the changes in agriculture, farmers have to move equipment from one field to another, and that sometimes involves getting on a rural road or a highway. The thing you need to remember, they legally have a right to be there. But they're probably going 50 miles an hour slower than you are going in your automobile. And I'll tell you this right now, if you get into a tangle with a four-wheel drive tractor and a planter with your automobile, you're going to lose because we've heard too many tragic stories of people who have driven into slow-moving vehicles and have not come out alive. So, and then, of course, the other thing, because in many states, it is a legal emblem of a slow-moving vehicle. That means you don't put it on a mailbox post, you don't put it as a driveway marker, and you don't put it on something that's stationary. We have a golf course on Algonquin Road here in the northern suburbs. They have gates that they close when they close the golf course. On the gate, they have two slow-moving vehicle emblems. Illegal. Shouldn't be done. Well, okay, that's my sermon. It's 14 minutes after 5. Jim Fazell with some ideas on what you might do outdoors in your lawn or garden coming up when we continue on the Saturday Morning Show. Jim Fazell, he's our specialist in ornamental horticulture ahead of this holiday weekend with a good deal to talk about. And weather keeps everybody guessing, doesn't it, Jim?
It really does. We've had such strange weather so far this season with the cold, the wet, the hot, then the cold and wet again. And last week early, it got pretty dry until we had some of these pop-up showers. But finally, we have some wonderful weather. It's summertime kind of weather, and the danger of frost is gone. So it's just time for planting.
So we can plant anything now if we want to?
We can plant practically anything we want to. The soils have warmed up. I took my thermometer out. Actually, it was just before we had the last rain during the week, and the soil temperature was up to 75, which is plenty high for things like cucumbers and squash and so forth, okra, things that need warm soil. Even some of the hybrid super sweet corn needs warm soil before you can plant it, but it's time for that as well. So you can sow just about everything. You can set out peppers and tomatoes and other hot weather crops. All your annuals and tender perennials can go out. And incidentally, you know, we had pounding rains earlier. A lot of us planted things like beans that can go in early. And the pounding rain kind of put a crust on top of the soil. And I know some of ours are having trouble coming up. Don't monkey around with that. Go ahead and go out and replant those areas that didn't come up. Don't wait around for the seed to come up that may or may not come up. But do replant those so that you have a full row or full bed of whatever you're sowing or whatever you're planting in those areas. And that, it's also harvest time. Radishes can be picked now. I know some of us have lettuce, spinach, chives. Get your chives before they go to in the flower. Asparagus has been really good this year because of the amount of moisture we've had, and rhubarb as well. So those things can all be picked. And, you know, meteorological summer starts next Wednesday on the 1st. That's the meteorological one, not the solar one.
Right.
It's summertime, and we can expect it to be summer. We can expect some warm weather, and it has been warm. Our long-range weather guy, Greg Solier, says that the El Nino is dying out, but he doesn't expect anything unusual for this summer. He thinks it to be about average with no prolonged heat or cold, moist early and drier later. Incidentally, NOAA, National Atmospheric Association, Administration, says hot and dry.
Yeah, and Greg is disagreeing with that. He's going the other direction.
I disagree with him, too. You know, I followed Greg and used him in some of the articles I've written for the last decade and a half, and by and large, he's right on the number. So I'd say it's going to be average with no prolonged heat or cold and enough moisture early, drier later, just to get the field crops to dry up, so that'd be great. Another thing that's a sign of summer on the way is it's the community farmers markets, and they're opening.
I was going to say, can I mention that this weekend the farmers market in McHenry County at Huntley, where I live, is opening. And then on Friday the 3rd of June, I'm going to appear at the opening of the farmers market in Lake Zurich. And that'll be Friday afternoon. They'll cut the ribbon at 2:45, and that will be next Friday, the first Friday of June. So I'm looking forward to that and then saying hello to a lot of producers. But not all of the produce comes locally at this time of the year, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't, because it's a little bit early up here. But some of our farmers have managed. In fact, we have a lot of farms that grow simply for the community markets. And the ones that do that have planned ahead. We have one good friend that actually went down and bought farms and actually has a farm in Paducah. He has greenhouses and a farm just east of St. Louis. So he has stuff coming in all the time. And as the season moves farther and farther north, he starts collecting or picking farther and farther north. So he has stuff on the farmers markets around here, and I know he's at several of them, where you'd say, well, how did he get it? Not only that, he does such a good job of it. People say, well, you must have gotten these from the supermarket. No, you can't afford to do that if you don't buy it at the supermarket. You don't make any money on it.
No, you sure don't.
Anyway, certain items are coming in, so don't be surprised if you see some of these items that you figure they're maybe a little bit early, because stop and talk to the farmer and see where his farms are. Some of them are way far south of us. We call them local because the farmer is local, and he understands our situation, but he may have production in other places. So it's harvest time for them. Many of the markets are opening this week, and if you want a list of what the farmers' markets are, if you have a copy of the food and dining section from the Tribune, Wednesday, May 11, it has a whole section on the farmers' markets in there with everyone listed, when it's open, the times that it's open, and so forth, including all of the varied Chicago markets, and there are gobs of those, neighborhood markets in Chicago, not just the one downtown. See, the other thing I wanted to mention...
Bedding plants.
Right, you can get bedding plants and stuff. These farmers' markets have a lot of other stuff besides just vegetables. And the bedding plants are available right now. A lot of them have some that they bring in, flats of them or little packs of them. This is a good place to get them because, you know, they grew them locally. So there are going to be varieties that are good for our area. There are people that have herbs already going and cut flowers. The pinks and phlox are in bloom, but you can get some of those. And there's still a lot of asparagus on the market. Strawberries are beginning to come in. I mentioned some of the things that we've been picking. You're going to find those on the farmers' markets, too. Even though you may or may not have them, have a garden of your own, you can still take advantage of locally produced stuff. And a lot of these farmers' markets have other things going on. I know one that has children's events where they bring in the fellow that does balloon sculpture. Mm-hmm. And they have eating. Some of them have hot dog stands and so forth. So it's a time to bring your family and to have a good time. Also, some of them seem to be the meeting place for folks that have their dogs. They bring their dogs. The dogs are well-behaved, or they're not invited to the market, and they enjoy being there. I know one we had that came in, and he absolutely went crazy for blueberries. Started to call that dog Blueberry. Everybody loved them.
Well, then after you go to the market this Memorial Day weekend, I'm looking at your list of things to do, and I love the last one that you've listed, but what should we do after we go to the farmer's market today and next week?
Well, you need to proudly put out your flag. In fact, we're putting ours out before we go to the market this morning, and attend a parade. There'll be a parade on Monday or Sunday in most towns, and thank a vet. You know, we like to cheer when the vets go to parades, or if we see them on the street with their hat on, thank them for what they've done to make our country what it is today. And then have your first barbecue of the season. Make a rhubarb pie, and when you get it, it'll be over.
I was going to say, I think every year on this weekend when we conclude our visit, the last thing you say is make a rhubarb pie.
I love those things.
Okay. Well, Jim, thank you. Have a safe holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, have a safe day too, Orion. Good talking to you.
Jim Fazell, our specialist in ornamental horticulture. It is 27 minutes after 5 o'clock on this Saturday morning, the last Saturday of May. And at my home in Huntley, it's 68 degrees on my thermometer this morning. Want to take just a moment to mention the farmers markets again. Huntley, Illinois, will be starting its farmers market season today, and a lot of other markets will be doing the same. And as we mentioned earlier, this coming Friday, the 3rd of June, I'll join some friends at Lake Zurich, Illinois, to open their Lake Zurich Farm Market at about 2:45 in the afternoon. And do want to mention the fact that... Greg Solia gets mentioned often by Jim and me. He's our TV meteorologist for the television show that Max Armstrong and I do every week, all this week in agribusiness. And he was talking when we put the show together for today, he was talking about something showing up on the East Coast that looked like maybe the start of a tropical depression. And this morning I note the year's first tropical storm warning in the United States, issued yesterday by the National Weather Service for the coast of South Carolina. That's 5 days before the official start of the Atlantic hurricane season on the 1st of June. The bulletin by the National Hurricane Center warned of tropical storm conditions reaching South Carolina's coastline within 36 hours in the midst of the Memorial Day holiday weekend. So hurricane time getting underway ahead of the June 1st scheduled for hurricanes. And then one other thing before we get to news. Thank you to all of you yesterday who came downtown to salute the seven people that were, again, put into the WGN Walk of Fame. And I'm so proud of Max Armstrong. We've been together well over 30 years on WGN, and one of the best things I ever did in my life professionally was to bring this Indiana farm kid here to Chicago to WGN. But so much fun seeing a lot of people I hadn't seen for a long time, and none of us have aged. That's the great thing. None of us have aged. So to all of you who came downtown and who were listening, thank you for that. Again, as I've often said, we don't own WGN. You, the listeners, own WGN. And at 5:30 in the morning, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. At 24 minutes before 6 o'clock, skies kind of cloudy in the area. It's been on again, off again rain, at least in my front yard in Huntley, Illinois. And the weather so far, well, probably a pretty good combination. It's kept a few farmers out of the field to get their planting done, but we always get it done and continue to get good moisture, and now we're beginning to get some heat and some warmth, all impacting the market. One of my favorite market analysts is David Hightower of the Hightower Reports, and he sat down with Max Armstrong in the studio this week to talk about what is turning out to be an unusual year, because on the 1st of April, after the planting intentions report, it looked like bearishness would continue to dominate the grain market. And it hasn't. We've got soybeans above $10 a bushel. We've got corn above $4 a bushel. And a little bit later, David Hightower will talk about the possibility of that continuing when he sits down with Max. But right now, welcome to Samuelson Says. This is brought to you by the folks at Wink Products Company, makers of quality specialty cleaning products since 1947. I'm Orion Samuelson, and this week, wondering if it will ever end. I'll tell you what in a moment. But it seems like it's always cleaning time, cleaning one thing or another. Sometimes you ignore, well, not ignore, but forget to take care of your treasured appliance, the coffee maker. That's why the folks at Wink Products Company has made Coffee Maker Cleaner, the perfect cleaning solution to remove those mineral deposits that make coffee taste metallic and cause your coffee maker to clog. So get some Wink Coffee Maker Cleaner today. See what a difference it makes. And it's just one of many products produced by this Midwest rural company out in Iowa. And you can learn about their entire family of products at wink.com. That's WHINK.com. Now, Samuelson Says. I guess I'm just being optimistic when I think the fight over genetically modified organisms, GMO, or some call it GE, genetically engineered crops, could be over. It should be, I think, because of the report that was issued about 10, 12 days ago. And I want to repeat some of that report, and I hope you will listen carefully to what this report is saying. It's from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. And that study, which went through 900 different scientific studies around the world going back 20 years, took a look at new technologies in genetic engineering and conventional crop production. And this is what they came up with. The study committee found no substantial evidence of a difference in risks to human health between currently commercially available genetically engineered crops and conventionally bred crops. And let me share with you what they said about the effect on human health. Quoting the committee report, 900 studies that they looked at. The effects on human health. The committee carefully searched all available research studies for persuasive evidence of adverse health effects directly attributable to consumption of foods derived from GE crops. but found none. Studies with animals and research on the chemical composition of genetically engineered foods currently on the market reveal no differences that would implicate a higher risk to human health and safety than from eating their non-GE counterparts. The committee also said, looking at the environment, they found no negative impact on the environment from the production of GMO crops. So I hope those of you who want to stop biotechnology and let more people on the planet starve, listen carefully to these words instead of listening to an anonymous blogger on the internet. This report has science. The blogger doesn't. My thoughts on Samuelson Says, a presentation of the Tribune Radio Networks.
David Hightower, Hightower Report, joining us in the studio here in the midst of a continuing soybean market rally. It hasn't stopped yet.
Well, it's surprising because the market's at a juncture now where we're going to decide, is this an all-year event or is it just a pre-planting, pre-growing season volatility?
Is it one principal factor at work here, or are there several things coming into play at one time? And by that, I mean, how much of it is the shortfall of the Argentine soybean crop due to the excessive rains they had in April?
Well, I think that's one part of it. We started in March where we had a broad-based deflationary commodity prices are going to zero. The world economy's in trouble. The dollar's ultra strong, all these items. And then we found out that, guess what, it's not as bad as all that. So we saw a bounce in commodities, largely led by the $15, $20 rally in crude oil. So that's part of it. Then you nick some out of supply and you change the balance sheet in soybeans from a record ending stocks to perhaps even maybe a very tight pipeline supply. So that's a night and day shift.
Crude oil did go back up over $50 a barrel this week, and that is part of the overall psychology, is it not, lifting the tide for all commodities? Well, not all, but many of them.
Well, it is, and now we're trying to decide, do we have $30, $40, or $50 oil? And if you look beneath the read between the lines, you find out that the daily production has now been down something like 7 out of 10 weeks. Daily oil production down around 8.8 million barrels per day is a point at which we start to discharge. Now we got a huge amount of storage and Cushing that's full, but we're also probably going to see in the next 2 weeks record implied gasoline demand. So here we are back to peak oil, and my point, I think, is that we can't keep it at 45. We have to be north of $50.
How sustainable is this grain market rally without some kind of a serious weather development in the United States? By that, I mean, here we are. Corn planting was a little bit disrupted after a fast start. Soybean planting, you know, it's with fits and starts in some places. Nevertheless, we're very close to the normal progress on both corn and soybeans. Will this rally start to fall apart if there aren't some weather problems in the U.S.?
I think the rally might slow, but I don't think the price structure will fall back. We're starting to learn now that we're not the all-dominating force because we've nicked the corn crop in Brazil. We've seen production come out in South America on soybeans. We've seen the palm oil production in Indonesia decline perhaps by 5%. So we've already seen an El Nino actual impact. And so that changed the balance sheet. So maybe we don't continue higher. But I don't think we're going to go back to those deflated levels we had in March.
Change the balance sheet. How narrow is that margin becoming on soybeans in your mind?
Well, if you take really robust demand projections and take fairly high yields and the appropriate acres that we think we're going to have in this next report, you could be as low as 150 million bushels. So we're down from four times that just 5 months ago. So I don't know if the demand will be that strong, but that's a tight market. That's not a bear market scenario.
That's under what you consider, quote, pipeline supplies, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, and over the last 15 years, we've seen so many years where you had a record pipeline expectation, then a record shortage, and then back to a record surplus. So this is not unusual.
We always have to talk about China when we're talking about the demand, but there are others who have stepped up, have there not? There have been those who have said we need to make sure we have coverage, and so the demand has been more robust than expected.
Right, and I think it's from old hands. I think it's from people in the U.S. that did not cover because of the overtly bearish outlook that we had. They were going to go hand to mouth. And so now they don't want to risk actually seeing a transition from El Nino to La Nina, because if that happens, and we do have August, a lot of August dry weather has been thrown into the market. Now that could come back out, that pricing. But they were short bought.
What's your view of that late summer period and the weather projections and the people upon whom you rely for weather input? What's your view of the vulnerability of this crop to a weather problem later on in that July and especially August time frame for the bean crop?
Well, you know, we have not seen that kind of adversity. We had too much rain, but we really haven't got into the point where we had dry conditions for the past 4 or 5 years. And so you can't take the shift from El Nino to La Nina without some credibility. So they're learning more and more about that every year, and so the predictions are that it's going to get hot. And so I think the law of averages applies. We have not really had a hot August for a long period of time, and you like to think that averages average out. And if you had cold and wet early, there's a lot of history that shows that that can translate into hot and dry later.
What do you say to the person who says, you know, we've watched August many times through the years, and you don't have to have a lot of rain in August to make a huge difference in the bean crop? Timing is crucial.
Well, and particularly the oil formation in the bean, and that's to me, that's the most credible bull market within the grain complex is bean oil. Bean oil is 1/6, 1/7 of the palm production in the world. And we've already had a significant reduction in palm output. Now, to turn around and rely on the bean oil market from that, there's just not enough there. There's not enough bean oil, canola, rapeseed oil, cottonseed oil. You can't make up the shortage in palm oil. So we don't need much of a weather adversity in August to make the oil market lead the soybean complex higher.
I'm trying to find something bearish from you here, David. Let's talk about China for just a moment and their credit situation over there, the hand-wringing over their internal economic problem, banking industry concerns over there. Is there anything in China that holds vulnerability for this soybean market, given the fact that they make up such a huge part of the global demand for our beans?
Well, that's all credible worries about the financial side of it. But I would counter with the realization that China continues to go out, 20 billion purchases, Syngenta, Smithfield. They bought a robotics firm in the last 2 weeks. So they are crazy like a fox. They are purchasing the technology to stimulate their economy going forward, and they're going to take that technology and be 10, 15 years ahead of where they would have been otherwise. So keep in mind, we owe $16 trillion in the U.S., they have $16 trillion in currency and assets. So even though their balance sheets show a lot of debt, to me, they're in really good shape.
We hear about their purchases falling off dramatically for things like coal and iron ore. But commodities can't be viewed equally, can they? I mean, when it comes to food, it's a different scenario for China, is it not, David?
Well, it is. And you have to be careful looking at those numbers because they are strategically managing what it is they have to buy. And so you need to look at the year to date as opposed to this month versus year ago. They publish a lot of stats that are versus year ago. And when you look at one timing of a month, they buy it, and the next year they don't buy it in the same month. So you got to be careful in what I see. Record sales of SUVs. I mean, how can a high-ticket item like that be being pulled off the shelf if there's not a good economy?
Taking a look at the opportunities for United States farmers this summer, we've really changed the dynamics. I mean, the grower still must be very astute in marketing, but boy, there are going to be some great opportunities, are there not?
Well, and the thing is, you got to act. You know, I can sit here and give you my opinion that I think corn has a very solid value, 10 and 15 cents under the market, and perhaps you don't really need to hedge corn. But beans, a whole different story. The soybean market is pricing demand. It's going to be hyper-volatile. When you get it $10.50 and $11, you did not think you were going to get that this year. So what does it hurt to buy a put? Go out and buy a put. Don't wait till you think that the fundamentals have changed and the market's now fearful of going down. Hedging means you never have to say sorry. You know, so get out there and do something. So what? You want that put to expire worthless if you're going to get a dollar more for your beans.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. It's always great to see you.
Thank you.
David Hightower, the Hightower Report.
It is 4 minutes before 6 o'clock here on this Saturday morning. Boy, time flies when you're having a good time, and we're coming into one of my favorite months of the year, June Dairy Month. It gets underway next Wednesday on the 1st of June, and a lot of activity around the dairy industry, where it's a prevalent industry like Northern Illinois and Wisconsin and Indiana. And we're looking forward to participating in several of those events. But I mentioned earlier that today it's Arlington Park Racecourse, and I really should go back there tomorrow. Let me tell you what's happening tomorrow at the Arlington International Racecourse. Sunday, the Cook County Farm Bureau will actively participate in State Fair Family Days at Arlington. And among other things, they'll have a The Farmer Is In exhibit to generate some dialogue between local farmers who will be on hand and consumers who will be attending. Thanks to Mike Orso with the Illinois Farm Bureau for passing that along to us. Tomorrow at Arlington, you can talk to a farmer. And if you have questions and concerns about how they produce, what you end up eating or wearing, well, they'll be there to answer it. And then, of course, on June 1st, we get into June Dairy Month breakfast on the farm over Wisconsin. They have more of those than any other. You may recall last year, the Vernon County, Wisconsin Dairy Breakfast on the Farm took place on what was once the Samuelson Farm, where I grew up, and it was enjoyable. And then there is, I should mention the fact that this year I'll be attending the Dairy Breakfast at the Drendel Farm, not too far from Huntley, down at Hampshire, Illinois. And that will get underway at 6 in the morning, continue till 11 o'clock in the morning. And a hearty farm-style breakfast will be served, complete with pancakes, sausage, applesauce, cheese, milk, coffee, and ice cream. That'll be served from 6 to 11. A donation of $8 for adults and $5 for kids 5 to 10 years will be collected at the farm, and the price includes breakfast and the farm visit. Children 4 and under are free. All proceeds go for dairy education in local schools. The Drendel family at Hampshire, Illinois. As a matter of fact, the house I'm living in Sun City at one time was a Drendel dairy farm before Del Webb came in and said, okay, we'll turn the pasture into houses, and they've done that. But it's on Saturday, June 18, at the Drendel Dairy Farm, Hampshire, Illinois, and we really look forward to that. One other thing this month, June, that I'm looking forward to, Sycamore, Illinois, North Grove School, a one-room schoolhouse located on Brickville Road in Sycamore, will be holding the annual open house on Saturday, June 18, from 11 to 4, and Sunday, June 19, from 1 to 4. That one-room eighth-grade country school was in operation from 1878 to 1952, now on the National Historical Registry, and the open house will be celebrating agriculture from that era. So when you finish breakfast on the farm at Drendel's, head over to Sycamore to the North Grove one-room country school. That's what I attended in Wisconsin in my childhood. So, you know, try to get out there for that, too. A lot going on, and we hope that you can enjoy whatever you like to do and that you do it safely. So thank you for joining us here on the Saturday Morning Show. Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson, and this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Radio and WGNplus.com.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.